What did you see that you don't see every day? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mark. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola. So I have been trained in first responder calls. My brother's a paramedic down in Oregon. But there's a span for 5 years where I saw 5 or 6 accidents that you would never see in your lifetime, most people anyway. Two that stick out, a guy got T-boned in Linwood, and they got hit pretty hard by a pickup truck. And I pulled off, and it was 5 o'clock traffic. Everything was packed. Another guy helped me pull the door open, pulled the guy out. I mean, he was banged up really bad. And his girlfriend, whatever, was on the other side, got her out. Neither one of them had a pulse. And so the other guy started working with her, trying to get her to come around. And she actually did. She came around. I started CPR on this other guy, the driver. And about then, the fire department rolled in. Nobody was there for a while. Fire department rolled in, just one paramedics, and he asked me to keep on going. And while I was giving him CPR, he basically just kind of choked up his insides, and I had the guy die right there while I was giving him CPR.
Wow. Jeez. Oh, wow.
So, I mean, as a paramedic, inevitably you're going to come across these things. My question is, for all of the training that you guys get, is there any psychological training, psychological warning, like, look, that sometimes it goes south, so prepare yourself, or is it just something you got to step into and deal with?
Well, now, I'm not a paramedic. My brother was.
Ah, okay.
I'm in construction, and I'm younger. My older brother was the paramedic, and I used to do ride-alongs with them all the time, so I saw all kinds of crazy stuff. But, yeah, they trained them for that, but that really did actually, that was the end of his career for that. Something happened that was pretty traumatic to a teenager that thought he wanted to end it all, and stuck a gun in his mouth, and it didn't do the job. And by the time my brother got there, he was holding his head together saying, you know, okay, hang on. The kid's like, I didn't mean it. Don't let me die. Don't let me die. And he died.
Yeah.
So that was, to answer your question, yeah, they see a lot of pretty traumatic stuff.
It's weird to me, though. You said you're a construction worker. You're doing the CPR, but when the paramedic showed up, he's like, hey, keep going. I mean, like, I'm not trying to be a D, but I'm like,
isn't that your job?
I am not trying to do this. I am doing the best I can, but, like, maybe you should step in.
I think once you start, you just got to be consistent, though.
Okay.
Yeah, he just needed a pair of hands that knew what they were doing to keep the rhythm going. That freed up his partner to go and get the meds, you know, the stuff that they put into the adrenaline that they shoot into the heart,
yeah,
things like that. And the other one was doing the oxygen. He's like, you're on it. Do you want to switch? I was like, no, I'm good. So we just stayed on it.
What about the guy that T-boned him?
Unhurt. He was a delivery guy. He was lost. Very one of these weird intersections where it's not just, you know, a four-way stop. There was a fifth road that came in, and he blew through that and T-boned him.
Okay. Damn. Right. And what were the other wrecks?
The other one was, I was coming back from Oregon and, just, you know, from vacation up the Oregon coast, cut through, I don't know what that bridge is called, by Astoria, I think.
Yeah.
And we headed up through kind of a back road, and in construction, I know the state of Washington requires a certain tilt to each corner and grade so the rain can run off. We were going up a hill, and it was just a series of S's, and we were the only car on the road, and coming around in front of us was an old Ford, old red Ford, and he was riding the upper bank, so we were cut into the hill like a berm.
Right.
And he was taking this thing like he was on the Indy track or something. He was way up. He was 3 or 4 car lengths up, just cruising. And I was like, wow, that guy's having some fun. And as he passed us, I could see he wasn't even conscious. His truck had just gone straight, hit the berm turned him, and was heading down to the other side. And so we crossed right between each other, and he went behind us. And then the road behind us that we just come up took a hard right and continued down the hill. And there was a guardrail there, and there was about a 10-foot gap between the guardrail and the next hill. He shot right through that gap. And the fir trees acted like, I don't know, just doors. They opened, closed as he went through, and you would never know he had been there because he didn't hit the brakes or anything. He just disappeared.
Jesus, man.
And so I stopped my car. It was summertime. I ran out in my bare feet and ran down to him. And his truck had pinned between two trees. Front tire was touching the back axle. So it just bent the whole truck in half. And it was on its side in between these trees. And I climbed up on the passenger side and reached down to him. He was an older guy. He was in suspenders. He looked like a logger or something. You know, he had flannel on, suspenders.
No. You're in that area.
You're in Oregon. That makes sense.
You got it. And so I reached down and was talking to him, and he was talking, but it was gibberish. It made no sense. So I don't know if he had a stroke or whatever, but he had his whole lunchbox had spilled all over him. But the wild thing is besides what happened to him, when I climbed up to the top of the hill, another car came by that happened to be a nurse with a cell phone that actually had service.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, that's like a 1 in a million shot out there, because we were in the middle of nowhere. And medics got there and stuff. We just left. I don't know. I don't ever know what happened to him. But yeah, they got him out of there, though.
Damn. Okay. I've never had to help somebody from an auto accident perspective.
I have once. The Jeep tipping over in front of me. My father did it. I wasn't with my father. My father's just a man of few words. My parents had gone out Sunday drive, which is something they did a lot. No big deal. But they get home, and if my father's whistling, he's in a good mood, right? That's just how it is. So I hear the door open. He's whistling. My mom looks okay. And he walks by me to go upstairs to change his shirt. And I remember he's wearing a yellow polo, and there's blood all over it. I mean, it looked like a murder scene. But again, he's just whistling. Hey, Steven, goes upstairs. So I'm just going to pretend like I didn't see anything. So I roll over to my mother. I'm like, hey, she's like, the blood all over his ass. I'm like, what happened? There was a car accident. Oh, my gosh. It wasn't us, but we saw a car accident. I guess a woman was, like, stuck in a car. Your father, being your father, went out there and got her out of the car. But she bled all over him, I guess, was the thing.
Damn.
But anyone else, that's kind of your opening story when you get home. Not him. You got to ask him, right? So when he came back.
He's just in a good mood. Is he did a good thing?
I mean, honestly, that's it, man. So it's like nothing had happened. But like he walked by and I'm like, oh, my God. It looks like he murdered a man. But when he comes back downstairs, I'm like, so you rescued a woman? Oh, yeah. Your mom told her. Yeah, yeah. She trapped in the car. Pulled her out. On to the next thing. That's the entire story, Dan.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Crazy. Okay. Crazy. It's kind of awesome, though.
I mean, that's just how he is. But with seeing that much blood, I'm like, he's acting normal. This is either terrifying or he did something heroic.